We are studying together Psalm 105, 106, and 107. I actually have entitled this series, Keeping the Faith in Fractured Times. That's the kind of age we live in. Now, in these Psalms, you meet all kinds of people. And we see that God can use all kinds of people. There are some of the people that are very faithful, others who are not so faithful. They all face difficult situations. But here is the lesson that I want you to get this morning as we look at this passage. We need to trust God in good times and bad because God is faithful. Listen carefully. And His providential hand does lead us even in difficult days. Would you turn to Psalm 105? Psalm 105. This morning we are going to look at four men as they are presented in this particular psalm. Look, if you will, at verse 9, and we are introduced to Abraham. The scripture says, "The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac," not Ishmael, "and confirmed to Jacob," not Esau, "for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan." Now, put your finger here. Before we come back and look at that just for another moment, I want you to see something about Abraham that you may not have caught that's given in Scripture. Because I know you're probably thinking the same thing. Well, boy, I wish I was Abraham. Yeah, I could handle it if I was Abraham. Let me show you his background. Would you turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24? Joshua, chapter 24. In Joshua, chapter 24, notice, if you will, please, verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah," here comes, "the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river," that's Euphrates, "in old times," mark this next statement, "and they served other gods." What? Abraham was raised in a family where they worshiped gods. And if you know anything about the worship of the gods, particularly in those Old Testament days, as I have mentioned before, it wasn't just bowing down to wood or stone or some kind of an image. They had on staff hundreds of, they called them priestesses, who were prostitutes, and it was legalized prostitution. And Abraham was raised in that kind of family. So, some of you are sitting here this morning and you're saying to yourself, "Well, some of the people here live for the Lord better than me," but you got to understand, I wasn't raised in a Christian family. Neither was Abraham. But you can be used by God. I want you to leave here today saying to yourself, "My mom may not be a Christian. My dad's not a Christian. They don't even go to church. Maybe they drop me off. Or my grandma brings me. Thank you, Grandma, and thank you for being here." And even if your family doesn't worship the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you still can be a godly person. Abraham's a good illustration. Now go back to Psalm 105. In Psalm 105, we see what God did through Abraham, verse 9, 10, and 11. And God said, I will give you the land of Canaan. Now, we won't discuss this today. The promise was made to Abraham. He was given a particular land. When you turn the news on, they are still talking about that land, Israel. And all the controversy from all the nations and everybody's focus on that particular land given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And when people say to me, why do you believe the Bible? I could give you many reasons, but there's one simple answer that I usually give. I said, have you ever heard of the nation Israel? Well, sure, over in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. That's why I believe the Bible, one of the reasons. God said they would be scattered throughout the world, but not assimilated into the nations. And in the end times would come back to the land of Canaan, and they would become a nation again. That has never happened to any people. And the Bible prophesied that. So that's Abraham. Now look at verse 17. We're introduced to Joseph. In verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph. What does it say about Joseph? Well, watch what he went through. The Bible says, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. So that he was pretty friendless. Then we notice that he was seemingly forgotten. Verse 18. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. He was seemingly forgotten. But what did that just say? Verse 19 says, until God's time finally came, God had a plan, had a purpose, and even Joseph being put in, ended up in a foreign country and being put in prison and all the rest, all seemed to fit into God's plan. Amazing. Wow, how did that happen? And this says that Joseph was freed in verse 20. The king sent and released him, the ruler of the people let him go free. And you can read all about that back in Exodus and all those books of the Bible. Simply put, Joseph teaches us that there are two ways that you and I can live our lives. You say, well, what are they? Okay, let me show you. Go back to Genesis 42. Genesis 42. And look at verse 36. Genesis 42, verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. He thought Joseph was dead. Simeon is no more. You already took Simeon from me. And now you want to take Benjamin? All these things are against me, he said. The first way you can live your life is like that. Well, just everything's against me. I mean, it's all messed up, and there's nothing I can do, and so I can't be happy, I can't have hope, and I can't serve the Lord because everything is against me. Hang on. I want you to see that there's a different way to live. Look what it says in Genesis 45. So just a few pages over. Genesis 45. And notice, if you will, verse 5. But now, this is Joseph speaking. Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God has sent me before you to preserve life. Oh. Hang on to something. He says, don't be upset by the circumstances. You know, you sold me and I ended up in a foreign country, and don't feel bad. He says, you know, for God sent me. Oh, God sent me. Let me give you one more verse. Chapter 50, verse 20. Chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph speaking again. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. He says, I know what you did to me, but I want you to know that God, even though you sent me away, I ended up in a foreign country, I went through some difficult experiences, God used me in that foreign country to fulfill his purposes. You can even live by circumstances or the providence of God. Did you notice what he says, Joseph says? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God. Okay, the next time. And if you don't have this conversation this next week, I'll be surprised, because about every week I face this. Well, you know, what's going on over there? I mean, what's you know? The next time somebody rambles on about that, don't argue with them. Just look at them and say, but God. Well, but did you see on the news something? But God. That's what Joseph said. But God. You can either live by your circumstances or by the providence of God. You say, hang on, providence, what does that mean? Okay, look at the word, providence, P-R-O-V-I-D-E. Oh, provide. See it? God provides. He works through circumstances, difficult situations. What are you in now? What are you facing right now? I have no idea. But I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word, trust the providence of God. If you live right, you just keep living for the Lord. Trust the providence of God. Don't focus on your circumstances. Providence. I'm going to tell you that this experience, it was one of the most meaningful days, or a couple of days, really one particular day of my life. Some of you may have heard, I used to listen to him on the radio all the time, and I bought every one of his books, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. He was pastor of the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles. I actually got an opportunity to be there. I spent an entire day with Dr. McGee, one of the most meaningful days of my life, to sit there and be with this man, and we did some things together all day long, that I had heard on the radio and read his books, and now I'm with him. And Dr. McGee, talking about all the circumstances, he said, "Jerry," he said, "we need to trust the providence of God." I'm just listening. He says, "You know what the providence of God is? It is the hand of God in the glove of history." I said, "What was that?" He said, "It's the hand of God in the glove of history." And then he pulled out a glove. He said, "You see that? Oh, you see the glove move? That finger, that nation, that circumstance? Oh, it might be these move. It might even be this bad." He said, "You know what you're looking at? You're looking at the glove. You're looking at the outside. The providence of God is the hand of God in the glove of history." He said, "What you're not seeing is there is a hand that's moving the glove. And the providence of God is the hand of God that you can't see in the glove of history." I have never forgotten it. Maybe you can take that home with you as well. And I gave credit to the man who shared it with me. So if you wonder about the providence of God and the circumstances, what's going on, oh, no wonder, but God. The hand of God in the glove of history. I remember even Ephesians chapter 2 says, "We walked in time past according to the lust of our flesh, according to the desires of the flesh and mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, but God." There it is again. That's Ephesians 2, if you wonder. Verses 3 and 4. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy and has a great love for us." So the next time you face that circumstance, and if nobody's around you, just say to yourself, "But God," and you think about that glove, his providence. And so we've looked at Abraham, we've looked at Joseph. I'll put these next two together. Go back to Psalm 105 and look at verse 26. We've seen Abraham in verse 9, we've seen Joseph in verse 17, and now in verse 26, the psalmist brings up Moses and Aaron, and he says, "He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen." Wow. We are now going to learn about the faithfulness of God in two different ways. I'm going to read these verses. Here's the two ways. We learn about the faithfulness of God, first of all, in how he led, L-E-D, his people. Verses 27 through 39. Listen to the scriptures. "They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark. And they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. Verse 32, he gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and the fig trees and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke, and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation of their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. God also destroyed all the firstborn of their land, the first of all their strength. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Verse 38, Egypt was glad when they departed. Wow, that's a great statement. Egypt was glad when the Jewish people got out of there. For the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for covering and the fire to give light in the night. That's how he led his people. Now let me show you how he fed his people. Verse 40 and 41. The people asked, because they didn't have any food. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. And he even opened a rock and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. He led them and he fed them. Those two thoughts, these verses teach us, look at verse 42, that God remembers. If you think God doesn't know your situation, would you please mark verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham. He remember what he said about Abraham and the land? And then it says, he brought out his people with joy. You can have joy in your heart, even if you have pain in your life. And then it says, he gave them the lands of the Gentiles. Verse 44. And some of those old preachers, just like I quoted Dr. J. Vernon McGee, I told you these guys had a great influence in my life. I don't remember who said this, but I remember hearing the old preachers say it over and over again. We'd be talking about circumstances and situations, and they would look at me and they'd say, listen, Jerry, where he guides, he provides, and where he leads, he feeds. So stop worrying about how you're going to pay for that at the church. You be faithful to the Lord, and he'll take care of all the finances. And those of you who know my ministry for 50 years at Starkey, I never worried about the money. Sure, we planned and we used it wisely and properly. I'm just saying, I didn't worry about it. Reach people for Christ. Preach the word of God. Because the old preacher said, where he guides, he provides, and where he leads, he feeds. And this psalm ends, verse 45, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. And that's the whole purpose, so that you and I will be obedient to God, whether it's easy or whether it's hard. Easy or hard, it doesn't matter. Trust the providence of God. Remember the glove.